So I want to kind of recap just a little bit of this building series just to kind of let you know what we've been learning so far. So this building project, we started with a plan, right? Every good project has to start with a plan. And so we went through scripture and we talked about the plan. And what is the plan? The plan is, what does the kingdom of God look like? So as we went through scripture, we talked about what the kingdom of God actually looks like in today's world. And we discussed that through scripture, both New Testament and Old Testament. So if you missed any of that, that's the plan. You need the plan to get on with the rest of the building project. Then we had the demo day, right? Because sometimes when you have a plan and you have a project, there might be another building standing in the way and you have to knock it out of the way, right? Because a lot of times in our own lives, we have things that get in our way of having a relationship with God. And so we have to have this spiritual wrecking ball that comes through and cleans all that up and clearing away and making room to build something new. Then we did a series called Blueprints. So just like a plan, you could have a plan all you want to have a plan, but if you don't have blueprints, nobody knows exactly how it's supposed to be built. And so the Bible is actually our guide towards building the kingdom of God. So we took some scripture and we talked about what those blueprints looked like. And then we talked about the foundation, because every good structure needs a nice, solid foundation, not like the foundation that we're currently standing on, right? You need a good foundation to build a good structure. And we began to talk about building through the action steps of baptism, communion, worship, and prayer. Those are those foundational items, those things that as believers, as Christians, we have to understand and believe together. Those steps of baptism, communion, worship, and prayer. Those are the things, the foundational things that if we do those things, if we truly believe in God, it's going to build a firm foundation for us to stand on with Christ. So that brings me to where we're at now. Structure. You see, from a solid foundation, the next step then is to begin to build your structure. You anchor your structure into the foundation of what you're doing. And so what we want to talk about is how to build the kingdom up as we grow in our knowledge, experience, and relationships. So out of this foundation of baptism, communion, worship, and prayer, how do we take those things and build our knowledge, our experiences, and our relationships? So today, we're going to be talking all about knowledge. Knowledge. I like knowledge as well. So this is our first stop in our structure series. So what exactly is knowledge? Through God's word, we gain an understanding that God is the one who gives the gift of knowledge, and that it's an understanding or awareness of something. The Lord, however, grants the knowledge to those who have an honest relationship with him. If we have an honest relationship with God, then he grants us the knowledge and the wisdom that he wants us to have. Proverbs 2, 1 through 2 says, "My child, listen to what I have to say, and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding." Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So in the first scripture we read, it says to tune your ears to wisdom and to concentrate on understanding. And then in the second scripture, it says, where does he grant that from? Wisdom? From his mouth. So God is telling you wisdom, and what's your responsibility? Tune your ears to listen to the knowledge and understanding that God is providing you. So that's a great proverb. I love that proverb because it teaches us then to listen for God, right? Like that's the basis of wisdom and knowledge, is to tune our ears and to listen for understanding. So, what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Well, there's kind of a fun little graphic. Let's throw that graphic up for me. Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit, right? Tomatoes are a fruit. In fact, if you didn't know that, they very much are, right? Wisdom is not putting it into a fruit salad. It's gross, right? Anyone put tomatoes in fruit salads? No. Philosophy is wondering if that means ketchup is a smoothie, right? And that's the difference between knowledge and wisdom, right? We can have all the knowledge we want to have. We can know a million things. We could fill and stuff our minds full of all these intellectual things, and we could spout off, like, I'm terrible with, like, pop culture stuff, right? Like, you go to the little trivia nights at places, and they're, like, asking me questions. I'm like, I don't know who that is. And they're like, you don't know who that, you know, it's like, I don't know. I don't know actors and actresses, like, but a lot of people do, and that's fine, but that's knowledge, right? You have the knowledge of who that person is. But then there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is using that knowledge in the right way. So, how do we gain knowledge? Well, knowledge comes through education, right? Education, learning, listening, reading. So, I'm a graduate of Arkansas Tech University. And surprisingly, my degree is in agricultural business. Shocker, right? Like, most of you didn't know that. Why is it shocking? Well, mostly because I'm not using my degree, right? I'm standing up here talking to you. I work for the Chamber of Commerce. Don't do a whole lot with my agricultural business degree, other than I sold a ton of peaches at the Peach Festival. That was kind of the extent of me using my degree. I used it. Thank you. Thank you. Hold the applause. But, you know, my intent from the beginning was to use my degree. I was going to be an ag lender. I was going to make a ton of money. It was going to be awesome. But then somewhere along the way, God changed my plans, and he had a different plan for me. A recent survey done in 2020 found that nearly 40% of Americans who had a four-year bachelor's degree say that they are not currently using their degree in the field that they're currently working in. 40%. 40% of people who have a four-year degree aren't using their degree at all in the field that they're currently working. Now, that's not to say that they don't have a great job. That's not to say that they don't enjoy their job or love what they do. That's just saying they're not using their degree and as a part of that. But, you know, for me personally, I'm thankful for my degree. I don't use my degree, but I'm thankful for my degree. But what I learned in college is I learned how to learn, right? I learned how to learn. And somewhere along the way, we all kind of, there's this light switch that kind of goes off, right? And it may be in college. It may be if you went straight into work. It may be way down the line when you're 60 years old. But at some point in our lives, we kind of wake up and we say, oh, I get it. I'm supposed to learn, right? Like, that's kind of the basis of everything we do is learning. It's learning more and more and more and growing yourself. Because if you're not growing yourself, you're shrinking, right? If you're not growing, you're shrinking. And so the continued education piece is an important part. And every single day when we wake up, we should strive to learn something new, something interesting, something that can captivate us and can take us that next step further. And it's no different in our Christian faith either. Every single day, we should strive to learn something new about God. We should strive to learn something new about our faith. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for his works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of the teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body is joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds upon itself in love as each part does its work. In this scripture, it talks about how we get out of our infancy stages, right? How many of you want to go back to being infants, not able to take care of yourself? Anybody? I mean, some of you are like, there's no responsibility as infants. I don't have to pay bills. But I don't know about you, but like, I enjoy not having like someone change my diapers and doing those types of things, right? At some point in our Christian faith, we have to grow out of our infancy, right? At some point in our walk with God, we've got to get out of those infant stages where God isn't just like, hey there, how are you? Do you need your diaper change? Did you make a poopy? Right? Like, that's weird. That's weird. We need to grow into our Christian faith, fully mature into who God has created us to be. And in order to do that, and in order to become this body of Christ, like the scripture tells us that we should be, it takes all of us, doesn't it? Like each person in this room has a different gift, a different ability, a different talent. Each person in this room has something uniquely qualifying them to teach someone else something that they know, right? Like, I know something different than Aisha knows. Aisha knows something different than I know. And so if I go to Aisha and I pretend like I know way more than Aisha about whatever it may be, like, she may just blow me out of the water, right? Like, I may be an expert in one thing. She may be an expert in another thing. We can learn and grow from one another. And that's what the scripture is saying, is that we have to learn how to learn from one another, with Christ being the head of the organization. Now, what's in a head? What's in your head? Your brain. Right, exactly. So if our brain is in our head, then what is Christ? He's the brains of the operation, isn't he? He's the brains of the operation. You see, the scripture reminds us that he is the head of the structure that we're trying to build. And he should be the head of the structure that we're trying to build. He should be the chief cornerstone. You see, his example was perfect for us to follow. And we should strive to be the embodiment of Christ. In other words, we should allow him to flow through us and use the church to make a difference in the world around us. We are called to action, right? If we're the body of Christ, we're called to action. Like, your head can tell your body to move, but your head itself can't move, right? Like, it has to tell the other muscles and tell it to go in order for you to have action. And so in the scripture, we see that Christ is the head. He's telling the muscles, he's telling us how to move and how to grow ourselves and how to gain ourselves in knowledge. And so through this series, we want you to understand a few things. And knowledge is one of those things. It's important for us to gain knowledge of Christ, who he is, what is his makeup, what is his history, what is his future, what is the here and now. We want to understand and grow in our knowledge of Christ. But if knowledge is all we grow in, it can be dangerous. So we have this graphic, and it's a three-legged stool. So, life in the kingdom, right? And this is a three-legged stool. What happens if you accidentally knock out one of those legs? It's going to fall over, isn't it? This is important to realize, because you have to have all three in order to grow in your relationship with God. You have to have all three of these in order to build your life in the kingdom of God. Because if any one of these things is left out, your stool is not complete. If you don't have knowledge of God and all you have is a relationship and an experience, you're going to be short-sighted. If all you have is knowledge, but you don't have an experience with God, you're short-sighted. You see how this works? And so it's important for us to grow ourselves in knowledge, experience, and relationship with God. You see, we all have different giftings, and that makes us strong in different ways. And to reach maturity, we have to balance the kingdom of God, and we have to learn how to value and use and grow each other in different areas that we may be weak or strong in. And it doesn't matter how solid the foundation is of the structure. It doesn't matter how solid this, the base is below that three-legged stool. If one of those legs is not even, the foundation can be super solid, but you're still going to fall. You see, there was this king called King David, and he ruled in the Old Testament for over 40 years, ruled Israel for over 40 years. And during his rule, he made many, many mistakes and disobeyed God. But he was determined to keep his promise to his nation. And so we see that King David's son, Solomon, comes into the picture. And Solomon is a very wise man. So let's see what he does. 1 Kings 4:29 through 31 says, God gave Solomon very great wisdom and understanding and knowledge vast as the sand of the seashore. In fact, his wisdom exceeded that of all the wise men in the east and the wise men of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite and the son of Mahl, Hermon, Calcol, and Darda. Yeah, I don't know if I got that right or not. His fame spread throughout all the surrounding nations. So we see this king, right? King Solomon. And he is super wise. He has not just, he's not just wise, he has a ton of knowledge. And so people are coming to him, they're asking him a lot of questions. He's ruling over them, he's super fair to everyone because he has so much wisdom and so much knowledge that when people come to him with problems, he's just like, yeah, I know how to solve that, right? You all know those people that know how to solve everything. This is Solomon, right? So Solomon is King David's father, or David is King Solomon's father, right? So growing up, I'm sure Solomon saw all of David's mistakes, all the things he did wrong. And with his wisdom and intellect, you would think that King Solomon would know exactly what he needed to do to keep a good relationship with God. Let's keep reading. 1 Kings 2:1-4 says, when David was about to die, he called his son Solomon to him and gave him his last instructions. Cool. So he's given Solomon some instructions, right? My time to die has come. Be confident and be determined. And do what your Lord God orders you to do. Pretty clear instructions, right? Obey his laws and commands as is written in the law of Moses, so that wherever you go, you may prosper in everything that you do. If you obey him, the Lord will keep the promises he made when he told me about my descendants and would rule Israel as long as they were careful to obey my commands faithfully with their heart and their soul. So, in other words, hey, son, if you obey God, then Israel is going to prosper, right? We're going to live a long time. This nation is going to be great. Like, all you have to do is obey God, and everything's going to be great. So King David took him under his wing and said, and gave him these instructions. So let's see how the wisest man in the world alive uses this to his advantage, right? 1 Kings 11:9-10. Even though the Lord, the God of Israel, had appeared to Solomon twice and had commanded him to not worship foreign gods, Solomon did not obey the Lord but turned away from him. So the Lord was angry with Solomon and said to him, because you have deliberately broken your covenant with me and disobeyed my commands, I promise that I will take away the kingdom from you. Oh no. What happened? What happened? We went from his father giving him advice saying, hey, if you obey God, man, Israel's going to prosper. It's going to be awesome. To the wisest person in the world not using that advice, but falling away from God and losing the kingdom. What happened? See, first of all, there's a difference between having knowledge of God versus knowing God. So let me give you an example of what I mean. I know Michael Jordan. Right? I know him. I know who he is. I've seen him play basketball. I watched The Last Dance and Space Jam a lot. I have his trading cards, right? I know Michael Jordan. He's a really great guy. I've never met Michael Jordan in person, but I know that he's a great guy, right? Because I know Michael Jordan. No, I don't really know Michael Jordan, right? Like, I know who Michael Jordan is. I know what he stands for. I know some of his problems. I know some of his successes. I know a lot about Michael Jordan because he's one of the greatest players of all time, right? But I don't really know him. But you know who I do know? I know Carrie, right? Like, I've spent a lot of time with her. I know her likes and dislikes. I know that she doesn't like me talking about her, right? She doesn't have a movie, but there's a movie of our life, right? And I know her favorite music. I know her personality. I know her passions. I know what makes her tick. I know some of her favorite things. I know that I have some quirks that she doesn't like, right? There's some things that I know about Carrie. So what's the difference between me knowing Michael Jordan and me knowing Carrie? Experience, right? Experience, time, relationship, right? It's the stool. Think about the stool. Think about the stool for just a moment, right? Can we put the stool back up? You got another one? Can you go back? Maybe. So think about the stool. You've got the knowledge, right? Like, I know Carrie. I know Michael Jordan, right? Like, I could find out as much information about Carrie and Michael Jordan if I really, really wanted to. I could probably get weird and find a bunch of stuff about MJ. But the relationship piece, I don't have a relationship with him, right? I've never met him, nor will I probably ever meet him. And experience, I definitely don't have any experience time with him, right? Like, we don't interact. He doesn't call me. He doesn't text me. I don't text him because that would be super weird. But if I want to make Michael Jordan happy, it would be difficult, right? Because I don't really know him. I don't know how to have an experience with him. I don't have a relationship with him. But if I want to make Carrie happy, I know exactly what to do. You see, we should know God like we know our closest friends. So often we think we know God, but actually we just have knowledge of God. The reason that I told you the story of Solomon was because Solomon was wise and he had a lot of knowledge of God, yet he still disobeyed God and turned away from him. Why? Because his stool wasn't even, right? At some point, I can't prove this, but at some point, his relationship with God and his experience with God fell away because he chose relationships with women that weren't believers in exchange for his relationship with God. God warned him. He warned him and said, don't follow that. But he insisted and he followed that. You see, there's a lot of people who know scripture. There's a lot of people who have knowledge of God who don't have a relationship with God. In James 2:19, it says, you believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Even the demons believe who God is, right? Even demons know scripture. Even demons know who God is. They have a knowledge of him, but they don't have that relationship with him. You see, it isn't enough to just have knowledge of God. We also have to have that relationship and that experience with him. And when we have that balance between all three, it's truly an amazing thing. It's truly an amazing thing. Now, I don't want you to hear me wrong. I'm not saying that knowledge is bad, right? That's not what I'm saying. Knowledge is important. Education is important. Learning and growing yourself is important. It is one of the best things that you can do for yourself is to continue your education from the time that you're born to the time that you hit that earth. Like, if you're growing yourself every single day, you will not regret it. But once again, we have to have all three of these things in order to have that true relationship with God. You see, the more we know God, the more we know how to use the knowledge that we do have. The more we have a relationship with God, the more that we have experience with God, the more we know how to use that knowledge that we have. We have to trust in God. We have to listen for him. We have to have self-discipline to know when we're hearing from God, because like that Proverbs scripture we talked about earlier, it says that God is speaking wisdom and understanding. We have to be listening for it. And do you know who wrote Proverbs? Solomon. Huh. Seems like he didn't take his own advice, right? Now, I'm not trying to bash King David or Solomon at all, because we're all only human and he was super wise and whatever. I'm not trying to demean them at all. But as we look at these imperfect people in Scripture, a lot of times we can see ourselves in these people, right? The Bible is chocked full of stories of people who are lopsided in their stool, right? Think about the people that are in Scripture and think about the things that they were lacking. Think about the disciples who were fishermen. Do you think they had a ton of knowledge? Maybe about fishing, but probably not about really much else, right? But they had experience and they had wisdom and they were willing to learn and grow their knowledge, right? Sometimes we may lack something. We may lack experience. We may lack relationship. We may lack knowledge. And that's where we have to be real and honest with ourselves. We have to self-evaluate. We have to figure out what it is that we are lacking. Because then we can go to our brothers and our sisters. We can go to our friends. We can go to those that we trust. And we can say, hey, like, I'm really struggling. I don't really know how to have this engagement or this relationship with God. Or I may not know how to have this experience with God because I'm scared to like let go and actually just worship him. I don't really know what to do to have this experience or this one-on-one thing with him. Or maybe it's, man, I want to have knowledge of God, but I don't even know where to really start in Scriptures. And that's where it takes the whole body of Christ coming together, because maybe I might have knowledge and you might have experience and you might have relationship. And if we come together, we can learn from one another. We can grow from one another. We can lift each other up. It's an iron sharpening iron situation, right? We've got to have the knowledge. We've got to have the experience. And we've got to have the relationship. In order to trust God with our future, we have to have a basis of what he's done in the past to have an understanding of his character. You see, trusting God in this way is wisdom. Knowledge, knowing God, is the now, right? It's knowing who God is. The experience is knowing what God has done. And the relationship is knowing what God will do for us. And if we want to trust God with our future, we have to understand, we have to have experience with God, right? We have to know what he's done in the past. We have to know God. We have to know him in the here and now. And we have to trust that because I have a relationship with him in the future, he's going to take care of whatever those needs are. But what about us? What about us? What's our experience been with God? Can he trust us? Do you think that God has knowledge of us? Yeah, he probably does. Does he have experience with us? Yeah. So what does that mean for our future? Well, I think that's up to us, isn't it? We love to question God about things, but I feel a bit hypocritical questioning God's character when I can't even get my own character sorted out. And I'm talking I statements right now, right? In a few weeks, we're going to be diving into a series called Wisdom. And over the in that series, we're going to dive into wisdom, what wisdom is exactly, breaking down all of those knowledge and wisdom parts and pieces. But over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about experience and relationship. and how without those two things paired with knowledge, that our faith cannot be completed and whole. So, how do we build knowledge of God? Well, we get to know him through prayer, through worship, through reading the Bible. We study what others have written. We share our experiences with one another. And we bring our testimonies of God's faithfulness. Because when we begin to share what God has done for each of us with one another, then it begins this process of us teaching each other about our past experiences, right? And not only does that grow the leg on my stool, it grows the leg on your stool too, because you know me. You know that I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm telling you about my experiences with God, right? It builds your faith along with my faith when I share my experiences with you. When I begin to talk about my relationship with God and I begin to express my relationship with God and how much admiration I have for him and how much I love him through worshiping him or through whatever it may be, through my life, through my work, through my service, right? When you begin to see those fruits in me, you begin to see the relationship that I have with God because you see him through me. That's how we build those stools and that relationship, because we begin to grow one another up. How do we build that relationship, that knowledge? You begin to share with others your knowledge, right? Can I tell on you, Mike? Is that okay? Okay. So just recently, Mike's been going up to the Next Steps house here in Clarksville, which is a home for men who are recovering from drug addictions. He's been going up there on Tuesday evenings, and he's told me about some of the antics that he's run into, and it's been interesting for him for sure. But, you know, a lot of the guys, they question him. They're like, what's your motive here? Like, what are you trying to get out of this? And he's like, I don't want anything out of this. And they're like, yeah, but there's got to be an angle, right? There's got to be some sort of, like, why are you up here hanging out with us? Why are you spending time? He's like, I just want to share with you the gospel. Like, I just want to share with you my knowledge of God and what he's done for me. Because if you know what he's done for me, maybe that might help you, right? Like, that's why Mike's up there on Tuesday evenings. The guys make fun of him. They say, man, if I wasn't in here and I had to be here, like, I wouldn't be here, right? But he's volunteering to walk into messy situations so that he can grow their knowledge, their experience, and their relationships. Because he wants to see them grow, right? That's how we build the kingdom of God. We've got to share that knowledge that we have with others. We've got to bring our testimonies before others and share the faithfulness of God. If you would, go ahead and bow your heads. I'm going to say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful. We're thankful for your goodness. We're thankful for your mercy. We're thankful for your faithfulness and your grace, God. And today, God, as we are here and we're standing in your presence, God, we're standing among other believers who have this knowledge and this wisdom and this experience with you. God, I pray that you would just allow us to do a self-evaluation, like a checkup. Because, God, if we're short-sighted in any way, I pray that you would just begin this process inside of us of wanting to learn and grow that particular area of our life. God, and I pray for knowledge today. Pray for knowledge. God, that you would make us hungry for knowledge, that you would make us just thirsty and to yearn for the word of God and for your presence, God, and for you to speak into our lives. Because, God, it's those moments when you speak to us. It's those moments when you whisper in our ear. It's those moments when we see something in Scripture that changes us from the inside out, that begins to build our faith, that begins to build our relationship. So, God, I pray that this week as we pursue you, God, that you would begin to speak into our lives, that you would begin to grow our knowledge of who you are. Lord, we love you, and we're so thankful for the opportunity to just know you more. God, we just ask that you would go with each and every person this week, that you would keep them safe, and that, God, if they are lacking in any way, shape, or form in any of these areas, that they would reach out to someone else they know who is strong in that area so that they can strengthen one another. God, I pray that the people in this room would find that person that can hold them accountable to learning and growing more about you. It's all this we ask in your holy name. Amen.